This morning, if you have a Bible, I want you to go in it to James chapter 1, verse 16. We've been talking about restoring the margins in your life. Margins are the spaces on a page that are intentionally left open. They're intentionally left unoccupied. And without the margins in our life, everything runs together. It becomes frustrating and confusing. And that's the way a lot of our lives become when we're overscheduled, we're overworked, we're exhausted. And so today I want to talk to you about the next step of restoring the margins in your life, and that is taking inventory. Somebody say taking inventory. So say taking inventory. Oh, there you are. You are with me. Thank you for being here today. And so Chris Boggs and I went out this week along with John Gleason Jr. We shot a video that'll help you understand taking inventory in your life a little bit better. So guys, if you could kill the lights and fire that video, let's check it out. All right, guys, we're about to go into Hoover Hardware Store, and I'm just gonna tell you, this is my favorite hardware store on the entire planet. They have everything. Let's go. So guys, I'm here with my friend Rick Hoover. Rick and his wife Sherry own Hoover Hardware. Rick, how long have you been in business?
Well, I've been here since 1981. My parents bought the store in 1963. And this store's been here as a hardware store since about 1887.
Wow, 1887, that's a long time. And this place is massive. I love to see the way you guys keep growing and expanding and constantly doing things to improve our community. I mean, this, if they don't have it, you don't need it.
In stock, we have about 60,000 SKUs, John.
60,000. Here's Todd, let's sneak up on him. Hey, Todd.
How are you?
How's it going?
I'm doing good.
This is my good friend Todd. Todd, how long have you worked at Hoover's?
I have worked here 13 and a half years.
13 and a half years, I'm telling you. People who work here love it here so much they stay. Todd, why do you love it?
I like the people. I like working with people.
Todd's a people person. Hey, thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, John.
We found her.
Hi.
How's Linda today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Josh?
Good. Miss Linda, we're shooting, y'all know Miss Linda. We're shooting a video for service this Sunday, and we're talking about inventory, when you take time to count what you do have. So, Linda, we're thankful for you, not only your passion for God, but also your passion here at Hoover's serving other people. How long have you worked here?
6 years.
6 years?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty awesome.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, same to you. Thank you.
You know, Rick, the end of the year is coming up, and I know one of the things a lot of businesses do towards the end or the beginning of a year is they start taking inventory. Can you tell us a little bit about what inventory is at a store?
Taking inventory. 60,000 SKUs. It's busy. So, yeah, everybody asked to take a section, and we count what we have on hand and see what our inventory is. Measure it, see what we've got, see how the counts come out. That's what taking inventory is.
Yeah. So what are some of the benefits of doing an inventory? What does it help you to see?
Well, it certainly helps you to see, what has sold in the last year or two. What maybe your slow movers, what's your fast movers. It's a matter of getting a grasp on how all that inventory is doing for you as a business.
Well, here's the thing. Next week's Thanksgiving, and I just want to tell Rick face to face how much I appreciate everything he and Hoover Hardware does for our community to make it a better place, not only to live, but to shop and to work. Here's how I know this is a great man, because his employees love him and they stay here forever. Don't tell anybody, it's a secret. He doesn't want anybody to know, but Rick keeps people first. And for that reason, Victory Church, we're grateful for Rick Hoover. Rick, thanks so much for taking time,
Josh,
to explain with us
today. We appreciate it. On behalf of our employees, thank you. We do appreciate it. We appreciate you folks too.
I appreciate
thanks
that. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Josh. Thank you.
Well, I don't think I've ever seen you walk that fast. That was crazy. And Linda, you're here. Why don't you stand up so everybody can see you in person? Look at this is Linda. She was in the
show. Yay, Linda.
Look at she did a great job, didn't she? Well, that was such a good video. It helps us to really realize how much inventory a store like that takes and how important it is to his business. And when a business takes inventory of their stock, there are some things they have to do. The first thing you have to do when you take inventory is you set aside time. This Thursday is Thanksgiving. How many are excited that it's Thanksgiving? What a fun time to be with your family and eat all that fun food. But this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and George Washington proclaimed that the first nationwide Thanksgiving celebration in America, marking November 26, 1789, as a day of public Thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. What an awesome proclamation. Yep. And Thanksgiving is one day we set aside each year to count our blessings. Basically, it's the day we take inventory of our lives.
Yes.
And to acknowledge where, or we should say who, those blessings came from. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, it tells us exactly that. In verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. I'm so thankful we serve a God that is a giver of life, and he gives us such good gifts.
Amen. Why don't we read that together? I'm going to count to three, and on the count of three, let's read. One, two, three, read. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. I love that scripture, but a lot of times that's the only one we hear quoted. And right before that, James, the brother of Jesus, tells us in verse 16, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above. I was having a conversation with a friend this last week, and we were talking, and I know a lot of times people think, well, if I work hard and if I go get a job and if I earn a good living and if I build a good life, who made that happen? And the reality is, God gives us the ability to do anything we accomplish in this earth. Anything good we have in our life came from our Father in heaven. And I think about President Abraham Lincoln's proclamation when he said, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. Abraham Lincoln was acknowledging where these blessings come from. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. God said something exactly like this to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10, as he prepared a new land for them to go in and thrive and prosper and become the mighty nation that would bless the earth that Israel is today. And he said, the Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a land with large, prosperous cities that you didn't build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you didn't produce. You'll draw water from cisterns you didn't dig, and you'll eat from vineyards and olive trees you didn't plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land, be careful not to forget who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. He says, be careful not to forget the Lord. So Thanksgiving is not only a national holiday, but it's a powerful biblical principle that is the cornerstone of victorious Christian living. We're identifying and acknowledging the source of the blessings that we've received in our lives. How many of you are blessed today? Amen.
So when you take inventory, number one, you set aside time. But number two, when you take inventory, you count what you do have. Mm-hmm. Inventory is all about counting what's on hand, the things in front of you, in your possession right now. It's not what you've lost or what you haven't received yet. We can get so focused on what we don't have, that we forget everything that we do have. That's just human nature. And listen to what Proverbs chapter 30, verse 15, it says, the leech has two suckers that cry out, more, more.
My leech has three.
What?
Marcia, Anna, Zoe.
Oh my goodness. We only have one leech in our house, and it's a big one. Right here. He's always crying more and more of everything. But we get something new, and then as soon as we see something better, we want it.
Yeah.
And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have, listen closely, learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now, that tells me that contentment is a learned response. It doesn't come naturally to us. Discontentment makes us uneasy. It creates an unrest inside of us. Nothing is satisfying. Taking inventory of our lives and giving thanks is one of the fastest ways to release a stillness in our souls and experience a deep satisfaction with who we are, where we are, and what we have. How many want that?
Yes.
And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Contentment is extremely valuable. It says right there, contentment is itself great wealth. And it goes on in verse 7 and says, after all, we brought nothing with us when we came into this world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. Contentment says, I'm good with what I've got.
Yeah.
Happiness is not having what you want, but happiness is wanting what you have. Happiness is not having what you want. It's wanting what you have that's so good. Sometimes we get that so confused and the opposite, but happiness is not having what you want. It's wanting what you have. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Count what you do have. Quit thinking about everything you don't have, but count what you do have. Focus on what you do have and not what you don't.
So number one, this week we're taking inventory of our lives. Just a helpful principle. Y'all have a handout that lays this out for you. Number one, we set aside time. Number two, count what you do have. Number three, when you take inventory, you count one section at a time. And Rick said that, and a light went off in my head, and it helps. You know, men, we need things compartmentalized. Women, there's a book out called Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. And it's talking about the difference in the way we think. You know, men, everything's in compartments, little grid, if you will. But women,
small, simple compartments. You said it.
Women are like spaghetti. It's all connected. You bring up anything and you pulled the wrong string. You're going to get something from way back in there somewhere that's going to come up. So anyway, thank you, baby. I'm grateful for your sense of humor today. You count one section at a time. So you have to pay careful attention to every detail if you're going to take inventory to do it accurately. And I thought about Ephesians 5:20. And it says this, and give thanks for what?
Everything.
Give thanks for what?
Everything.
For what?
Everything.
Everything. To God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought about that, because a lot of times we just read over scripture and mow through it. Don't think much about that. If I'm going to give thanks for everything, the only way for me to do that is to take time to identify each and every area and acknowledge them to the Father.
Absolutely. And here are five areas that we can look at in our own lives to give thanks to God. And number one, the first area is presence. His presence is a privilege.
Yeah.
It's the most valuable thing we have, so we can start there. You can list the things about God you are grateful for, who he is to you,
mm-hmm.
what he does for you. His presence is the first area. The second area is personal. On this one, we need to look within ourselves. Find the strengths that you have. What are the good things that are in you? The third area is people. Who is a blessing in your life? The fourth area is provision. What revenue streams and sources of increase or income are you blessed with? Sometimes we take all of these things for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And the last area and fifth area is property. Give thanks by taking time to see the things that you do have. This one might feel a little weird and non-spiritual, but it's critical. Be thankful that you have a roof over your head. Be thankful that you have a vehicle. Be thankful that you have food in your refrigerator, that you have family, that you do have friends, that you have a church to go to.
There you go.
There you go. Be thankful. So these five areas will help you greatly realize how much you do have to be grateful and thankful for in your life.
I think a hard one is the personal one. That's one of the things they ask you at a job interview. What are your strengths and weaknesses? We're quick to know what our weaknesses are, but I think for most of us, it's harder for us to be quick to identify our own strengths. And that really ought to be the other way around. Nobody should know that better than you. And the reason why I say that is because inventory is really about choosing where you're going to focus. Again, like you said earlier, it's not focusing on what you've lost or what you don't have yet. It's focusing on what you do have. And the reason why that's important, y'all, is because your life follows your eyes. Your life follows your eyes. This is critical. If you played a sport, you know, in basketball or in football, even for a while there in football, guys were wearing visors to block their eyes. But if you can watch a man's eyes, you can see exactly where he's going to go. And that's why the Bible tells us to set our mind or set your eyes on things above. Colossians 3:2 in the Message says, don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up, look up. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. Look at what's going on around Jesus. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us run the race that is set before us with endurance, looking unto Jesus, keeping our eyes up on him. Why? Very simply, because our eyes determine the direction of our lives. And they did a study in Texas. Texas is really flat, and there are highways, and the only thing out there is one telephone pole after another, and they couldn't figure out why people were having accidents and hitting telephone poles when it's these wide open fields and nothing else is around. So they did a study, and they came to find out that the reason why was because the only thing there to see, Andy, was a telephone pole. So as people are losing control of their car, they look at that pole, and they're going, oh no, don't hit the pole, don't hit the pole, don't hit the pole, whack. And they hit the pole. Why? Because the direction of our life goes to that which we choose to focus on. And so I begin to think about that. Where our eyes go, our life follows. And so I ask the question to you today, what are you focusing on? What are you looking at? Because inventory forces us to find the good and count the things we do have. So if I learn to, as you said, with contentment, it's learned. I learn to discipline myself to make an inventory in my life and search for the good things I do have and seek out and identify and acknowledge our Father for the blessings in my life, then I'm setting my eyes on the blessings of God, which means my life is going to move towards greater blessing of God. Does that make sense this morning? If I set my eyes on my failure, what am I going to move towards? Failure. If I set my eyes on just the negativity, I'm going to move towards negativity. If I set my eyes on my defeats, then I'm going to move towards my defeats. If I set my eyes on things that get you down, I'm going to move towards those things. But if I set my eyes on the fact that there's victory in Jesus, I move towards victory in Jesus. If I set my eyes on the fact that there's power in the Holy Spirit and the promises of God are true and I have a purpose in my life, then I'm moving toward those things in my life. And we see where Eve was guilty of this same thing. God created the Garden of Eden, one man, one woman. He joins them together. He makes everything. And for day after day, he says, it's good, it's good, it's good. Looks at man, says it's not good that he's alone. Makes a good thing for him, his woman. Gives him a partner to do life with. And so they're doing life. Life is perfect. There's no sin. Everything's wonderful. They're running around naked, feeding each other grapes. Life is good. And you just pulled away from me. Back to Eve.
Oh.
Everything in the garden's good. God says there's one thing I don't want you to touch. One thing that I want you to have anything to do with. What does Eve do? Human nature takes over. She gets her eyes on the one thing, the only thing she can't have. The entire garden is filled with wonderful things. She focuses on the one thing she can't have until it becomes the only thing in her life, and it drowns out everything else. She focuses on the one bad tree instead of all the good trees. And that's exactly what Satan does with us. He gets us to focus on the one thing we don't have until we stop seeing everything we do have. And you know, Satan hasn't changed any. Taking inventory in our lives is about finding and focusing on the good trees that God has planted in your garden.
Yes, it is. You know, I absolutely love life. Everything about it. What I do, where I am, who I'm with, my family. I mean, love it. Family is general.
You acknowledge me
when
you said who you're with.
My dad. And you. But that doesn't mean that I like everything that's going on in life, or that everybody's acting the way I think they should. But I have made a choice to love my life. It's the only one you get. There's no perfect life. There's just life filled with seasons. Taking inventory helps you find the blessings in every season, in every stage of the journey. Life is about 10% what happens to you and 90% what happens in you.
So true. So number one, you got to set aside time. Number two, you count the things you do have. Number three, you count one section at a time. And fourth and last today, when you take inventory, you write it down. It's critical that we do this and take time for this. It's one of the reasons why I gave you that card today. I actually took some time to write down and fill those things out. And then I used it as a prayer card to repeat those things back to the Lord in gratitude. But David did this in one of my favorite Psalms. It's Psalms 103, verse 1. And he says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he's done for me." How many of you can say today, God's done good things for me? Amen. May I never forget the good things he has done for me. And then he begins to list those good things. He's taking inventory of his life. He says, he forgives all my sins. I'm grateful today that he has forgiven all of our sins, church. And heals all our diseases. You know, we have a great physician, and there is no disease that is incurable with our God. Let me try that again. There is no disease that is incurable with Christ our healer. By his stripes, you can be healed today. He says in verse 4, he redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. David is taking inventory of his life.
You know, a critical part of restoring your margins is the ability to see what God is doing in you. Don't forget what he's doing in you. Yes. He's doing a mighty work. What God is doing for you, what God is doing through you, and what God is doing around you. Mm-hmm. He's still saving people. He's still setting people free. He's still doing the miraculous. Hallelujah. Right. We should be the best at celebrating everything good in our lives as gifts that came from a father who is crazy in love with his kids.
Yeah.
You are a child of God. You are his kid. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, we're going to read that scripture again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. I'm so thankful that I have a Father that always gives good gifts. You don't ever have to wonder. He always gives good gifts. Celebrate big things and celebrate little things. I know Josh and I, we are constantly saying, good job to our kids. Way to go. Slapping high fives. I mean, Josh slaps high fives. I'm not a big fan
she
of that.
She hates them.
I hate them.
Matter of fact, a few years ago, y'all remember that awkward kiss Al Gore gave his wife? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, I lived that moment. Yeah, they do. And I was up here, and we were excited. Something was happening good. And I went, give me a high five, Marcia. She snubbed me. So it turned into...
Shouldn't he know me better that I don't like high
fives?
You shouldn't have known me better. I thought you knew me.
I learned something that day.
Don't give me
high fives. Don't give Marcia a high five. Everybody's going to give you a high five on your way out tonight.
I know. Never. That's going to be the thing. But let's be extravagant in the way we celebrate good things. You should watch Josh at a restaurant. I mean, I'm just going to tell on him. It is a show. When it is like a really yummy meal, he starts to moan out loud. He's like saying things out loud. It's so embarrassing. And then he'll be like, can I see the cook? And I'm like, no. And he goes back to the kitchen, and he thanks the cook, gives him a high five, makes a scene. I mean, it is embarrassing. You have anything to say?
I love, man, that's worth celebrating. Oh, he probably only hears complaints, or she.
We're all traumatized.
I'm going to barge in the kitchen and tell him.
But do you realize that heaven is filled with celebration?
Yes.
That it's one big party? Nobody can get down like God. The angels erupt like a football stadium every single time just one sinner repents and comes to Jesus. It's not like watching the Golf Channel. Shh. I think they got saved. No, it's a crazy praise because their life will never be the same.
Yeah.
They reached down in this big mess and pulled this person out. Jesus did, cleaned them up, gave them a brand new slate, a brand new life to do mighty things with. That's why they celebrate with a praise. It's not a shh. Angels celebrate the one who does repent. They don't mourn over the ones who didn't. They are taking inventory. They are counting what they do have. And that's what we need to do. We get so focused on what's not happening and what we don't have, when all we need to do is change our focus on what we do have and begin thanking the God that created everything and just begin to give him praise and thankful to him.
Amen. Let's give him praise right now. Praise you, Jesus. One of the most fascinating things I thought about as we were looking at this message and taking inventory in our lives is understanding that taking inventory provides protection to a retailer. Actually, it prevents something a retailer calls shrink. Somebody say shrink. And shrink is the loss of inventory due to theft, shoplifting, fraud, damage, or cashier error. How many of you know there's a devil loose? The Bible says, Jesus said, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but he said, I have come that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And if people know that nobody's watching and keeping track of things, then they get careless, things get misplaced, and worst of all, they get stolen. But taking inventory lets other people know somebody is watching the stuff, somebody is paying attention, somebody is accounting for the things. And the Bible says in Proverbs 6:31, if there's a thief and he's found, let him restore it sevenfold. And I thank God today in the authority and power of the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that every knee bows and every tongue confesses that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I thank God that in the authority of that name, you can say, devil, put it back, and I command you to bring back seven times what you stole. It's time to get back your stuff.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Stand with us this morning. Praise you, Jesus. You know there's authority in the name of Christ. There's authority in God's name to save. It is the only name under heaven that men can be saved by. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this room, the greatest thing we could ever extend to you is an invitation to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I thank God that 17 years ago, someone did that for me, and I don't regret a single day I've spent walking with Jesus. My worst day with him is so much better than my best day ever was without him. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, friend, today you can. If you're here today and you don't know where you stand with God, friend, today you can. Maybe you're here today and you walk with Christ at one time, but you've let things creep in and crowd him out. Today, you need to renew your relationship with him. Look, his door is open. You might have turned your back on him, but he never turned his back on you. Today, come on home. I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, I just want you to shoot your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know who I'm praying with. Josh, today, I want to receive Jesus. I want to begin a relationship with God. I want him to save me from my sin and begin a new life with him. Josh, that's me today. One, two, three. Josh, pray with me today. Thank you for your honesty. Is there someone else here today?